My name is Karen Larson.
And I'm SJ Klein.
And we're listening to Type Radio. Now we're talking. Type Radio
FM. Now we're talking.
You're asking about the project.
You did a workshop project here in Wellington?
Yeah. Well, I wanted to do some kind of little, like, mini, like, installation of some sort.
Well, Catherine asked you to present. And speak.
Or no, she's just like, if you want to do something, write a proposal for it. And so I was like, well, you know, I'm like, oh, it'd be really fun to do something here. And I guess I was trying to, like, I was more, like, when I was beginning to think about it, is like the connection between New Zealand and Alaska and how we're kind of, I started looking into, like, ways that we're subtly connected. And, like, there's actually quite a few birds that actually migrate back and forth, which is
like the mutton bird we found.
The mutton bird?
I don't know what they're called. Shore birds. They're little birds. Mm-hmm. They're not the mutton bird.
Oh, that's not the mutton bird?
No. But anyway, they actually make, I think, like, they fly almost continuously over the ocean until, like, China. And then they stop, and then they head to Alaska. And over, it's like, and they arrive, like, May 20th every year, like it's just like, I guess, just heaps of them. And there's festivals in Alaska and stuff. But anyway, I was thinking about that, but then I was like, I don't know what I would do in the air, or, you know, or how that connection even kind of worked. But I was thinking more about water and kind of connecting, like, worldwide, like, places. And then I started looking, I was like, wow, it'd be really interesting to do, like, tracking. Like, something that there's, like, satellite trackers that go with websites that you can actually follow.
So put
things.
Something into the water and let it float from New Zealand through the
currents.
But then
I'm reading a lot more about currents. Actually, the winds kind of here, kind of, they circle around from, like, and go up to China and kind of do this in South America, and then they go up kind of north to northern part of America, and then they cross over. And hardly any of them, like, if I would even launch anything, it would probably never make it to Alaska. So basically I was just like, oh, okay, well, you know. And but I started thinking more about water and kind of connecting places, and just in more, a little bit more a world sense or view of, like, living and the So, and then I wanted to put, I like putting words into natural environments and what the context means. And I guess, so I started thinking about how to construct something and then have it disappear and be good for the environment. Then that was the other thing about some of those tracking is, like, well, it's going to land up in, like, you know, as trash someplace.
There's a giant trash pile in the middle of the Pacific north of Hawaii that's, like, the size of Texas.
That's just like plastic trash that just gets caught in that circle of trade, you know, that, like, moves apart. So anyway,
with stuff that doesn't degrade.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's all plastic. It'll be there for thousands of years.
Yeah, so I guess I started reading or looking into, like, different materials that, like, that dissipate in water and that are good for, I mean, that don't cause any harm. And so I started looking into, like, you know, they have the paper plates and they have straws and cups, but actually most of that's, you put in a compost and it breaks down. It's not in the water. And then in the States, so we have these cornstarch, we call them peanuts, and I guess here they call them packaging chips. And so I started looking into, like, because they're pretty amazing they're pretty much taken, like, probably about 50% of packaging material in the States.
They're basically the alternative to polystyrene, to styrofoam. So.
Yeah, if you really need packaging stuff. But America has a, like, kind of an obsession with corn, so it's kind of interesting that, I mean, yeah, it's better in styrofoam, but also the corn can be feeding somebody too, you know, or, you know, I mean, there's a lot of different issues with that. But anyway, I was, that as a material and a building structure, I thought would work out really, really good in the water. And it breaks down pretty quickly depending upon, you know, the wind agitation and stuff. So I started to think about building the material or building the letters out of that form. And so...
But why do you think in letters? Why letters?
Not a shape, or yeah. I guess it talks about like a message or words that if you create some object, granted, it's going to dissipate very quickly. I don't think it gets maybe the message out as quickly as letters and words do. And also, this is a typography conference also.
Okay.
But words evoke different things in different people. And so, like, the words I created was Next Time. And I was kind of thinking about this for another project, but, like, the words separate evoke kind of different meaning, and then when they're together, they kind of almost do a different meaning, and it kind of makes you think in a different way. Like, Next, you're thinking about, you know, the future, and you're very optimistic, and when you think about time, you're like, Next Time, it almost is a little bit, it's almost like, oh, it's like I didn't do something right now, and I'll do it next, like a put-off. And so I wanted some kind of more thinking about being more active or proactive in whatever you're doing. And so, and whether it's graphic design or we're very involved in our community in a lot of different ways. And so I just wanted to like take an active voice in whatever you're doing, and instead of putting it off. And so, and building these things was very active and when we arrived, I thought, oh, I'll have no problem finding these things here. And then we started calling around and we can't find them. And then we realized how ethnocentric we were in thinking that everybody would have these things. And so I started freaking out a little bit, because it's like, what am I going to construct these? When I was looking at home, researching degradable material, I found some recipes on how to make these. And so I was just like, oh, maybe we'll make them. And so we actually talked to our hotel kitchen and got to meet the head chef there. And he opened up his whole kitchen, and we did some experiments on how to, like, actually make these.
Did you make it work?
Well,
they sank.
Yeah, you know that game you play, Sink or Swim?
Oh,
and there's so many things that sink that you thought would swim, and vice versa. And these were a prime example. Like, it just, like, went and sunk to the bottom of the water. And then we still can't do this.
Yeah, we did find somebody up in Auckland that makes them. They're actually, we ended up obtaining these, they're called pop starch chips. They're made from potato starch, and they're actually local to New Zealand.
Yeah, but we were going through pretty much almost a whole day of a little bit freaking out, you know, and then finding them.
A gentleman named Les at Sail City Packaging was very helpful. He was able to courier them overnight to us so that we could spend the whole day building the thing.
Yeah, and so it was about 16 hours to build them, and they're picking up one by one by one, and the letters themselves were about, they're like
30. A meter by two-thirds of a meter.
Yeah.
And four layers thick, so.
So, yeah, about 6 inches in height, so. But, yeah, a little time-consuming, but it's definitely,
And then the idea, the concept was to release them into the water and let them disintegrate.
And how long did they take to disintegrate?
They lasted probably, I don't know, I'd say 10, 15 minutes in the water. Yeah.
There was
a really strong wind. We had quite a current. And really, as soon as they got in the water, they just took off.
Oh, yeah, they just started booking, like, to the open ocean, which the tide was going out, so... Finding the proper location for this project was also a little bit... I had visions of what New Zealand would look like, and I guess I probably thought it looked a lot like Alaska in some places, and so... But finding a good location that was, like, coast-wise, and I kind of wanted it to float out, you know, to the open ocean kind of area, then get trapped on a beach somewhere and, you know, fizzle and I don't know what, but... So yeah, we ended up doing out on the island in the middle of
Maitu Island, Soames Island. It's out, it's out in the middle of Wellington Bay here.
Yeah, so it was really pretty. We were like, oh, it's a reserve, like a protected reserve, and so we're
conservation
a bit,
district,
you know. So we're like, oh, yeah, we would like to release something into the water, and but actually, SJ ended up calling them. And then,
yeah, the park ranger out there, his name's Matt, and he's great. He's just like, oh, that sounds like a lot of fun. Let me check with the higher ups, and yeah, he kind of went through the bureaucratic process for us and got us approval.
Yeah, and then I went over there and scouted out everything before we went out, and mm-hmm. yeah, it all kind of came together at the end. So
we had.
Did you make more letters there, or?
Actually, we did. We brought a bunch of stuff over, and we had a whole workshop where, I mean, there were 8 attendees to the workshop that helped us kind of bring everything out, and they all made words as well that we released into the ocean. So
yeah, nice. So it's fun.
Yeah.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah.
Final question.
Yeah.
You do it.
Oh, okay. No. Yeah. What is your impression of Dutch design? Because we're always curious to know if that's obviously the toilet.
There was a really interesting story on. We have this radio show called This American Life. And we don't have a television, so it's like everyone's got that show that they have to listen to. We listen to this one. It's out of Chicago. Ira Glass is the guy who produces it. And they did this piece on, it was called Art by the Numbers, and it was about these guys who travel around the world to different cities and do polling to find out what they want, what the most popular art would be. Just like, you know, would it, you know, pastoral or modern, you know, and it's like everywhere in the world they wanted kind of a realism painting with grass, you know, lots of green and blue sky and animals and trees and, you know, kind of an outdoor pastoral setting. The Netherlands, the choice was modern art. And, you know, it's like,
actually, the lecture guest this morning just was talking about that same. It was kind of funny because he did Charles Schwartz.
Christian Schwartz.
He actually brought up the images that were and how they did that survey in mm-hmm. the lecture guest, which is kind of funny. You didn't see the lecture.
I didn't know, but it's. the theory that they had in the radio show was because you have such a pastoral and beautiful and idyllic setting that the art is, you know, so is the art that is popular is so different from that or whatnot. But how would you answer the question?
I mean, I guess I kind of like overall, I think I kind of all attribute European designs is a lot of not a lot better, but I mean, but there's like a whole groundwork for really good design in so many things, and I think in a lot of ways in American design, I think there's a lot more, there's people exploring different things in different ways, but it's not, I think as a culture, I think America's got a really long way to go.
Yeah, there's you do have an institutionalized culture of design.
Yeah, which... and a different appreciation than, I mean, sometimes, like, just even walking in, we were in Wellington and Christchurch, it's like, when you... Like the heart of the city is like this old building and botanical gardens and this whole institute of design and art that's like appreciation of this culture that's grown and that I think that heart is kind of lost overall in America in a lot of regard, you know. But I think there's a lot of people doing interesting things, because. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of things interesting going on in the world, but I don't know where it ends up. I think there's definitely a higher standard in Europe.
Although they always say the grass looks greener on the other side.
Yeah.
You know.
But.
So, yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. You bet, that was
thank
fun.
Thank you.
This is Type Radio. Now we're talking.